You have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to the Song of Solomon. I want to look at the second chapter of the Song of Solomon. You have to understand there is a dialect, a conversation, a courtship that is taking place here between King Solomon and a little Shulamite girl. It is a picture of the relationship between Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. Here these two are communicating their love, and suddenly the king makes this statement to the Shulamite girl. It is a statement that is given to this church today. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Right in the middle of this courtship, right in the middle of expressing their love. I've seen that this morning. God's been expressing his love on you, and you've been trying to express your love back towards him. And right in the middle of this courtship, the king drops this statement. Again, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Father, I pray this morning that God, you would help us to be in the Holy Ghost, to preach the Word of God. And Lord, you'd help us, Father, to hear, to glean, to receive help. And God, I pray you'd put a spirit of obedience upon us today. Lord, help us to surrender our will to your will. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated this morning. Grapes in the Word of God are always representative of a type of the Holy Spirit. Grapes in the Word of God are representative of the fruit of the Spirit. I love grapes, don't you? The Lord spoke to me much this week about grapes. I'm going to put these right down here. As I think about grapes, I think about this fact that, number one, they are the delicate fruit. Grapes here in this text are considered or said to be tender grapes. It's not grapes that are full. Understand, these grapes that we see here are grapes that are full. They're an expression of joy being full, joy being fragrant. Praise God. I can look on some of your faces this morning and you're just about ready to bust, amen? And then some of the rest of us is sitting here bored absolutely to death, wondering what on earth has happened this morning. I want to tell you what, we're praying that God would give us an opportunity to express our joy and worship in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And there could be no doubt then that these grapes are representing the fullness of our joy and our relationship with the Lord. They're a delicate fruit, though. The Bible says, or he mentions here, about tender grapes. Grapes just blossoming. Grapes that are developing. Grapes that are maturing. And the Bible will tell us very clearly about these grapes. We're not talking about grapes being squozed and fermented, turned into wine. Listen to what he says in Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. In the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Nehemiah said that the joy of the Lord is your strength. I want to say three things quickly about the delicate fruit, the tender grapes. Number one, grapes are a delicious fruit. I love to eat grapes. They tell us that it's good for our blood. Hey, glory to God, that'll preach, amen. They'll tell us that they're good for our heart. They're nice and tasty. They are a delicious fruit. I love it when we're able to feast
in the joy of the Lord. I love it when we're able to come in the house of God and get encouraged. When we go out and face a horrible day and the world coming against us, and we realize that way down deep inside of us is the Holy Ghost of God, and He's there to show us joy in the Lord, no matter what circumstance, no matter what events that we face. Please remember that grapes are a delicious fruit. Second of all, grapes are delicately fragile. You understand there's a lot of types of grapes. There are red grapes, white grapes, there are black grapes, there are Concord, Thompson Seedless, Autumn Royals. We could go on and on and on about the different types of grapes. But here the scripture mentions tender grapes. Grapes that are maturing, grapes that will one day be full, strong grapes. But be careful, church, there's wild grapes. Be careful, church. If you're not careful, you'll get a hold of some sour grapes. Grapes can easily be destroyed. It doesn't take much to squash one. You can drop one, it might bust open. It doesn't take much, just a few days, and that delicate fruit called grapes will go out of date and they'll spoil. If you ain't careful, they'll begin to shrivel up on you. They'll be spoiled. They might begin to rot. I'll never forget one time I went to get me some grapes, and I got a hold of them right off the vine. And man, I started to eat them, and I thought, boy, that didn't taste too good. I think I'll taste another one. I got another one. I thought, boy, that didn't taste too good either. Maybe I'll get a better one. I moved on down the line a little bit. Finally got one pretty good. I figured they're off the same vine. Why does one taste sour like that and the other so good? I went back and looked at them grapes. They're molded. There's molded on the backside. I was eating molded grapes. There's a lot of us, amen, come in the house of God when our grapes ought to be tender, when they ought to be developing, when they ought to be getting full, amen, to express our joy. If you ain't careful, you'll get a hold of wild grapes. You'll get a hold of sour grapes. You'll get a hold of shriveled up, rotten old, molded, spoiled grapes. Lord God, we don't need that in the house of God. Don't need it in the pulpit. Don't need it in the Sunday school class. Don't need it in the one of rooms. We need somebody filled with the joy of the Lord, teaching the infallible, inspired, inerrant word of God, and just let it rip. But please realize this, that grapes, though they are a delicious fruit, they are delicately fragile. It's easy for your joy to be spoiled. Listen, the Holy Ghost is easily offended. He's like a dove. You don't just woke up on a dove any old way. He's liable to whoop, fly away. Hear me this morning. Grapes are delicately fragile. You be careful how you treat one another's joy. Some of you, if you ain't careful, you'll get into the dried up grape called a raisin. Did y'all go to church today? Yes, they had a tub. Don't smile at nobody. Won't shake nobody's hand. Ain't got nothing good to say about nothing in the church. All you want to do is fault find and point out other people's failures to keep them from figuring out yours. Amen. Want to say, first of all, that grapes are delicious fruit. Grapes are delicately fragile. And thirdly, grapes are desired by foxes. Foxes love to eat grapes. Do you know that? You know over there in the Old Testament days that King Solomon was talking about, you'd take the vineyard, and because foxes would come in and take away the grapes, you know the old fox, the old world, the old flesh, the old devil would love to come in and take away your joy. Get you busy on something else, amen. So what they'd do is they'd put a fence up. Lord, I pray, oh God, would you put up a fence around this place? Don't let the old fox in here to destroy the joy that needs to take place in the house of God. And God spoke to my heart and said, oh yes, I'll put up the fence, but it's the little foxes you tell them to watch out for. You see, here's the fence up to protect. Foxes, listen, they love grapes. And the little foxes will try to get in under the fence. So, number one this morning, I think we need to see the delicate fruit, these tender grapes, our joy. our children are tender grapes. You ought to watch what you talk about in your house. You ought to watch how you handle your children. You know what else is a tender grape? Your marriage, sir. Your marriage, ma'am, is a tender grape. It's delicate. You ought to tend to it, amen. You know, foxes love grapes. They'll take your children. They'll take your marriage. They'll try to claim your home. They'll try to get a hold of the joy of the Lord from the expression of your heart. We see that grapes this morning, they're a delicate fruit. But number two, we see the dangerous foxes. Now understand these, they're cute little old things. You ever seen one? Oh, they got a little old bushy tail and they got a little old nice looking little old face. And some people love to see foxes. They're so beautiful to look at. They seem when they're little that they're rather harmless, but they'll do a great deal of damage untended to. You know what they do? They'll sneak up on you. They'll slip in under the fence when you ain't looking. They'll come in unexpectedly. And what the fox likes to do the most is not eat these great big grapes. He'd rather get them when they're just blossoming, just tender, getting ready to come into a developmental stage to mature. You're just getting ready to praise God. The service is getting ready to break out. Just getting ready to let God have his way. And then all of a sudden the fox will come and say, "Hey, remember me? You don't like that preacher up there. Remember that? Remember me? You don't like that Sunday school teacher over there. Remember me? You don't like that person in the choir up there. Hey, remember me? You don't plan on coming back here tonight. Now, if you get caught up, they'll expect you to come back tonight. Oh, listen, let me tell you something. Them little foxes will start slipping in on you undetected, and they'll spoil the development of the grapes in your life. Listen, the fox is a picture of the enemy to the relationship that we have with the Lord. No doubt the fox wants to destroy our joy. You know, the Pharisees came and told Jesus, they said, "Herod will kill thee." Jesus said, "Go tell that fox." You see, the fox was desiring to destroy the joy that Jesus had. But listen what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews. "Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is sat down on the right hand of God." You hear me, hallelujah, this morning. Our Savior knows about the foxes that would try to take away our joy. Listen what else Jesus said about foxes. He said, "Foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, and the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." You know, a foxhole, he's got a little den he likes to hide in. He's got a little cave he likes to get in, a little secret place. And when nobody's looking, he'll slip in slyly to destroy. I'm thinking of some words that start with the letter H. For the hole that the fox is in. This morning, I'm praying that the Holy Ghost will run some foxes out of the hole this morning. What are we going to do to them? Oh, I'll tell you in a minute. Number one, listen, there's some foxes in your life that want to destroy the tender grapes called your health. You got a bad diagnosis. Sickness has set in. Bitterness, maybe other people, you hear other people got healed and you've not got your healing. You're going through this tough time, and the devil will come and say, that little old fox slip up on you and say, "Well, how come you're having such a hard time and everybody else got healing? Your God can't take care of you. Your God don't care anything about you. Why, after you serve God all this time, why would he let something like that happen to you?" Your health will become a fox that will try to destroy the tender grapes of joy in your life. What about your harsh attitude and your heated temper? You know, it doesn't take much to get you stirred up. Your wife's ready to say amen, sir. It don't take much to get you aggravated, to get you irritated, to get you bent out of shape. I'm telling you what, that little old fox would like to slip in on you of a harsh attitude, of a spirit that would love to come and criticize and fault find and murmur. Let me tell you what that is. That's a fox. trying to eat the tender grape in your life? What about high living? Living above your means, worrying about riches. You ought not to be comfortable with high living. Understand our Jesus. He came to the poor and needy. That's who the gospel was preached to. You remember when you was lost? You were poor and needy, and he came to you. Now that you're saved and you're rich beyond measure, don't let that ever change. Don't you ever say, well, I deserve. I'm worthy. Don't you get that high-minded, high-living attitude. What about heartache? Oh, that heartache will tend, well, listen, it'll try to take the tender grapes of joy. I mean, the burden and the sorrow. Oh, yes, the devil says you get in there and you have a little worship service and you get in there and praise God in the choir and you go to the altar all you want to. But don't forget, I'll be waiting on you tomorrow when you've got problems in your family. You got problems in your business. You got problems. Don't forget about your problems and them heartaches. Oh, I'm telling you, some of you, you just want to let it rip this morning. But your heart's so heavy. I'm preaching to somebody. Your heart's so heavy, you just couldn't hardly cut it loose. Please understand, if you ain't careful and you don't express the joy that the Lord's put in your heart, it may spoil on you. It may shrivel up. It may turn back on you. Oh, I'm begging you this morning, don't let the foxes try to take the tender grapes and ruin them in your life. What about hurts? People you love hurt your feelings. You didn't agree with how it was said. You didn't like how it was done. And you're hurt. And being hurt hurts. When it comes time for you to express your joy this morning, you can't because you're hurt. You're hurt at your daughter. You're hurt at your family. You're hurt at your brother or sister in Christ. You're hurt. I can't believe they would have treated me that way. I can't believe that I wasn't consulted about this. I will tell you what, listen how quiet it gets. I'm talking about a fox that's trying to come and taking away your freedom, taking away your liberty, taking away your praise, taking away your expression of joy, taking away your ability just to jump up and say, let God have his way in my life. I would remind you that Jesus was hurt. He came into his own, and his own received him not. They rejected him. They did not receive him well. And up on Calvary's cross he went. And when he was reviled, he opened not his mouth. He said not a word. He didn't slip up slyly, slanderously behind somebody else and said, hey, what do you think about that? Bless God, that ain't nothing more than a fox slipping up slyly and slanderously, trying to ruin and to spoil the tender grapes. I'm telling you, God has a work that he wants to do. Will you let him? What about habits? It's amazing how our habits, God convict us and say, this needs to change in your life. Yeah, but there ain't nothing wrong with it. But yeah, there is, because I said so. Because I laid it on your heart, to him that knoweth to do right, and doeth it not, unto him it is a sin. And now your habit has caused your joy to be squashed, to be squandered. Listen, what about your hobbies? Hey, glory to God, listen. This is how quiet it's getting in here. You know why? Because the fox is in the hole. He's worried he's been found out. When your hobbies, sir, come between you and God, it's a fox. And it's trying to take away that relationship that you have with Jesus from developing to full maturity. It's why we stay in the baby mode almost all our spiritual lives. Preacher, I didn't come in. I didn't want to hear this. I was going to shout on grapes, but I don't want to hear about foxes. What about your hidden sins? Do you know about them? The Holy Ghost does. The Holy Ghost knows about your addiction. The Holy Ghost knows about the wanderings of your mind. The Holy Ghost knows about the slipping of your lip. Let me tell you something this morning. There's a many of us, we'll be careful with our lips, but our lives have not changed. Our lives need to line up with the Word of God. Your hidden sin is a fox that's killing your joy from being expressed this morning. What about this morning being hollow? I remember one time they cut a tree down at my house and it was hollow. Now listen, this tree had pretty much fell about halfway. It just broke right off, kawam, went on the ground. I thought, boy, the windstorm has blown down this tree. How horrible that such a great wind would knock down such a monstrosity. And I got to looking at that tree. It was hollow down at the bottom. It was filled where the ants and things had been eating on it and decaying it. It wasn't the wind knocked it down. It was all that other stuff that was neglected. It was unfaithfulness. It was hidden sin. It was hobbies. It was habits that took the place over service to the Lord. Oh, you'll stand and talk about faithfulness, but you won't live it. We ought to be an example, but we've allowed the foxes to take away the tender grapes in our life. The Bible says those little foxes. I'm not talking about a big fox. You know, a little fox will become a big fox. But it's the little fox that slips in when nobody's looking. So secretly. So seductively. You'll even take notice of it and say, well, it ain't really that big a deal. It's just a little thing. But you see, those little things that feed off what ought to be your joy and start taking away, graduate to become big things. We've seen the delicate fruit and we've seen the dangerous fox. Listen, Preacher Darren, I don't have any foxes hid in the hole. You are exhibiting a false happiness. There's not, hear me. God told me, he said, you go down there and you tell them that some of them pretend to have joy to put on a show so nobody will know. But when a place that nobody else is looking, it's not really joy. And they're feeding the fox what belongs to me. Number three, and I'm done. We've seen the delicate fruit and the dangerous fox. I want us to see the deliberate fix. Preacher, now that I know there's foxes in the hole, what am I going to do? This king wrote to the little Shulamite girl, says, take us the foxes. The word take in the Hebrew means catch them, apprehend them, take hold of them, trap them, and put them to death. Take us. Lay hold on it. When the fox comes around, don't pet him and say, oh, you perfect, beautiful, little harmless creature. You're so pretty to look at. We just love. Some of us just have to be stroked. But you better watch out. That same one you're stroking will be the one that'll pick the joy right off your vine. Look what he said. Look at this word, take us. The word us represents the king and the Shulamite girl. It represents the Lord Jesus Christ and the bride. In other words, here's what he's trying to tell us. You and the Lord are going to fix this together. The Lord says, I've identified the fox. I know the hole he's in. I can set the trap for him. You just shoo him out. Give him to me. I'll take care of him. Woo! We're going to work on this together. That's what Jesus said. Oh, I'm glad I'm not in a trapping foxes alone. Amen. I'm glad he's the one. Preacher, I don't understand. Trap them. Number one, the trap of dedication. Amen. We can let little foxes get between us and Jesus. And they don't seem so big. We'll start missing church occasionally. We'll start getting less and less involved. We'll start putting aside our Bible reading. Next, our prayer time, let somebody else worry about that. And before you know it, the dedication you once had is gone. And now the fox is eating the tender grapes. You used to be so dedicated. How, Preacher Dan, can I catch the fox? The trap of dedication. Just go ahead and say, I am going to commit. I'm going to be loyal. I'm going to be devoted to the cause of Christ. You know what you can do? Listen, that relationship with the children or the world's trying to get a hold of them. How can I get the foxes off of them? The trap of dedication. Bring them to the house of God. Pray with them. Love on them. Hey, what can you do in your marriage, sir, when it's going awry and things don't look good? And the little foxes, you know, where you grumble and gripe at one another. I remember the old boy, he went there to one of them marriage seminar things. There's a bunch of couples there, and they come down to teach them to talk right to each other. And they come down for breakfast, and the one man looked at his wife and said, "Would you pass me the sugar?" "Sugar?" And the other man said, "That's pretty good. Will you pass me the honey?" "Honey?" Next man said, "Well, I like that. It's all right. I don't really feel like they do. So would you pass me the bacon?" "Pig?" You see, it's the little foxes, the way you say or do things in your home. That's corrupting your marriage, sir. Corrupting your marriage, ma'am. You've got to be dedicated one to another. Take time to comb your hair. Take time to brush your teeth. Take time to fix yourself up. Take time to love one another. Take time to go to the house of God together. Take time to pray together. It's the little foxes that'll slip in. It will cause hurt and harm in your home, with your marriage, with your mate, with your children, and between you and the Lord. There's another trap called the trap of communication. What should we do? Oh, you ought to pray daily. I mean morning, evening, and at noon will I cry aloud to the Lord. Amen. We ought to be seeking the face of God. You ought to be praying about your life and the will of God being done in it. You ought to be praying for your friends. You ought to be praying for your loved ones. You ought to be praying for the sinners. You ought to come in here prayed up. We was at a revival meeting this last week, and they was getting ready to have some instruments playing, a backup accompaniment to the song. And the banjo picker got up, and all of a sudden he went into tuning his banjo, trying to get it just right, you know, because a banjo will fall out of tune real quick. And about the time he turned around, he said, "I'm sorry." I jumped up and said, "Sir, if it's all right with you, that's a blessing me to death. I appreciate somebody taking time to get in tune before they serve God. If we as a people of God would get in tune with the Holy Ghost before we ever get in the service, you talk about having a time. You talk about worship. You talk about praise his name. And our problem is we're filled as a people that's out of tune with the will of God for our lives."